Morning session for today, and the next speaker is Boris Kashin, and here are the title. Boris, you're welcome.
Thank you. In my talk, I present two group of results, recent results obtained jointly with my former student.
She just graduated from Moscow University, Irina Limonova, about restriction of operator to coordinate subspace. Part of this result was presented on Alevsky conference, but fortunately only few people was there. But part of the result was obtained here in Cambridge, so I should thank Newton Institute and organizer for giving me the possibility to work quiet and to finish our job in some extent. But first of all, let me say what I mean by restriction operator. So it's very easy to understand. We have two norm space, X and Y, and T is some operator. It could be linear or nonlinear, and in X we have some basis. For example, if X is Rn with some norm, and y is also Rn, big N, with other norm, we have a lot of bases, for example, standard bases, Ei. And we consider what happens with this operator if we restrict this operator on the set, on the subspace generated by some subset of initial basis. And the same, it's possible to restrict the range of operator to the coordinate subspace here. It's clear what I understand by coordinate subspace. It's better to start with concrete example, because here there are classical result obtained in 30s of 20th century connected with my subject. For example, if we have phi is orthonormal system, phi I, for example. Let me recall the result of Menshov, Marcinkevich, and Banach of the following type. If phi I is arbitrary, and we consider operator of maximal operator, S star phi, maybe it's better to interrupt my speech and to introduce the notations, because I don't lose the time. So sorry for this. So I consider the following notations. It's rather easy. I consider a matrix. This is PQ norm. It's usual norm from LP to LQ. VI, it will be set of rows. And WJ is set of columns. And here is my main object in some sense. The submatrix generated by some subset of rows. So I fix lambda, and here it's my submatrix. Here is scalar product, and here it's what I use here already. So it's maximal operator. It's it could be defined for finite sequences, but also in infinite case too. I need to point here that this function fx organized in the following way. So we take maximum over all s depending on x. It's the main difficulty to study this object. But what was proved by Menshov and Marcinkevich independently in 1936, that we can find subsystem phi lambda such that on this finite sequence, sorry, on this, for this lambda, this operator is bounded from L2 to L2. Also, let me recall the Banach theorem that if we have this orthonormal system, when norm of phi I 1 bigger than some positive constant for any I, then we can find also the set lambda infinite that corresponding subsystem is Banach system. So the L1 norm of any polynomial is bigger than constant times L2 norm. So if we start from evident necessary condition, and by suitable choice of lambda, we obtain the property of operator on the whole subspace, coordinate subspace. Another example, when you consider not coordinate subspace in the domain, but in the range of operators, classical Groth and Dick theorem. So, some sense, a lot of factorization theorem could be considered like restriction on coordinate subspace. What I mean? So, if we have operator, say from L2 or L infinity, doesn't matter, to L1, it's linear operator, then Groth and Dick theorem gives us the following factorization. So this T could be represented by Tj T1, where T1 goes from L2 to L2, and Tj is multiplication operator. If you just nj from L2. So what we have? If we restrict this operator on the set when J is bounded by some constant, so the norm of J bounded by Groth and Dick constant, but so he's bounded by 5 on the very big set. And what I can say is that this operator initially from L2 to L1 goes from L2 to L2 on the coordinate subspace. In finite dimensional setting, it means that matrix bounded with bounded 2 to 1 norm has bounded 2 to norm on the coordinate subspace in the range up to here. We need to normalization constant square root of n, because it's normal transfer from big L2 to little L2. So it's an example of some theorem of this type. By the way, because I will speak about this operator too, in modern interest, it's considered how big this lambda could be. But interesting that there is no good technique for to solve this problem in full generality. So if we know some information about our system, for example, a boundness in some sense, then we can find lambda dense enough, so it's polynomial density. For example, if norm phi I, some p bigger than 2 is bounded, so we can, it's easy to find polynomial density subset with bounded maximal operator. But if we have no information about system, just orthogonal orthonormality condition, the best result belongs to Kerguelen. It's lacunary density. So if we have system of 2 power k function, we can select just k functions such that this corresponding operator is bounded. It's absolutely clear that it should be much bigger. I believe that it will be, if it goes from 1 to n, it n over log n some power, but what we have is just log n. So it's, here it's no good technique. But even if we consider, also I'd like to say that if we restrict range of domains for linear operator, we normally can go from one setting to another, but for nonlinear, like my case of maximal operator, it's not possible in general. Okay, so also I'd like to recall my old result because it's connected with the The interesting thing is that this restriction theorem maybe, okay, let me recall my old result, 1980, because it's connected with my new result. So it's the following theorem about the restriction of operator. So now I consider, I rotate my matrix, here N, here big N, and A, and suppose that initial classical operator norm is 1. It's not surprised that we can expect that this matrix contains submatrix, square submatrix, so omega, the cardinality equal n, with smaller norm. But it was my result, because it's non-trivial fact, and it gives you existence of submatrix. Of course, the column here are not such a simple order, but I just write this way, that this is less than epsilon if n is much less than n. And the sharper result about how small the norm could be was obtained in 89 by my former student Lunin. And the result is the following. We can always find square submatrix with norm less than some constant square root of n over n. It's obviously sharp. But this result of mine was initiated by the problem I'd like to present now, problem by Kolmogorov rearrangement problem, which here the questions, because it was never published, and I was informed that it was a really problem stated by Kolmogorov, by Minshov, because he spent a lot of time to solve it, and they have joint paper with Kolmogorov about similar subject in late 20s, but it was never published. But there is the question is the following, very natural questions, but about almost everywhere convergence. So maybe I should recall also that norm of maximal operator, if we have n functions, if we have just n functions, n, the norm of maximal operator is always less than C log n. It's classical Minshov-Rademacher theorem, but here also there is a problem. It's the only example of system with logarithmical order of this norm is almost the same. So it is somehow connected with Hilbert matrix. So if we have system generated by Hilbert matrix, 1 divided by I minus J, it's easy to see that it's a logarithm, but it's very often not easy to improve this logarithmical estimate. So also there is no technique. But what was the equivalent form of this Kolmogorov problem? It's just finite dimensional problem. Is it possible to rearrange initial finite system? Okay, let's call here n, such that we don't need to improve operator norm, but just enough to improve this to weak norm. So as operator consider from normal L2 to weak L2. And what I tried to do in 1980 to get this result. The only what I could do, so I immediately come to the following problem. Instead of take all possible functions in the definition of maximal operator, I just take this triangle function. I know that my matrix has norm 1. How can I estimate this stuff? So the best approach, it's most natural, I decompose dyadically. And this decomposition immediately gives me a logarithmical bound. But to improve it, I need to have better estimate of this square submatrices. It's why I proved this theorem. It was the source of this submatrix theorem. So later on, this topic is normally connected with so-called Kadison-Zinger problem, because it was some result of Bourguin, Zafiri, and finally this problem was solved. I'll speak about it later. But the first, first reason to consider such kind of problem is connected with Kolmogorov rearrangement problem. But here it's the solution of Kadison-Zinger problem obtained by Markus Pillmann and Srivastava. But what they did it's exactly result about finite orthonormal systems. Here it's the result. What they did, they proved that we can decompose any orthonormal system, rotate orthonormal matrix, so the rows are orthonormal, the column should have small enough Euclidean norm, and then we can decompose into two pieces with extremely small norm. I should say that if we have vector with small coordinate, it's trivially, we can decompose it two pieces. It's norm 1 divided by square root of plus some constant in L2 norm. And in L1 norm, it will be norm 1 half plus epsilon. So it will be important for the following material. OK. It's very important result. But why it's so important? Because in some sense, Bourguin obtained almost full solution of Kadison-Zinger problem with only extra condition on the element of the matrix. They should be smaller than some negative power of logarithm. But this result gives you a very good possibility to iterate, because what is written here, and also it comes from orthonormality, we bound from above the norm of this part and from this part, but immediately you have lower bound for both, because all together this matrix and this one gives a one by I mean the A star, it will be, it's one, and it's very nice property. So main corollary, it's following discretization results. So we start from almost everywhere convergence, we come to very practical stuff. And as I mentioned, the upper estimate was obtained by Lunin. He did it before Bourguet and Zafiri, and it was some competition those time. But recently with Vladimir Temlyakov, we got some application of this result. I'm sure it will be a lot of this result by Markus Lunin and Srivastava. But I'll present two other application. Here is definition of frame, but I don't think it's necessary to repeat. But Alevsky, with co-author, considered exponential frames. And using this result, I'm present here, this equivalence, this discretization. What they could prove? They prove that they finish the solution of the existence of frame for arbitrary set of finite measure. This result was known for bounded set and was unknown for in general case when set S is distributed over all real line. And it's very interesting result. And second result, it was obtained here. I don't want to give an exact formulation, but what it's very practical in some sense. Result, what is using the, it's connected with Gauss-Seidel method of solution linear, big linear systems. And the point is that using this kind of decomposition of matrix, we can, starting with arbitrary A equal A star. How do we call it? Self-adjoint, sorry. Matrix. We can, with norm one, we can rearrange in same way column and rows, and to get boundness of this triangle projection. So before this result, it was unknown, even for fixed triangle projection. And why it's important? Because in the formula which gives the speed of convergence of Gauss method, there is a norm of A tilde, I mean this triangle part. And normally, there is logarithm here. But people in applied mathematics, they just, what they did, they randomly rearranged the variables and they prove the convergence. And here is theoretical, how to say, basement of this. Okay, so there are other applications, but let me go to my result. Yeah, one of the authors of this three authors paper, Srivastava, reformulate what they did. So they he consider arbitrary matrix with such a condition, two, and the result he reformulates following way. So we can decompose into two pieces with the following estimate. And he asks, what happens for p equal 1? But in fact, what my initial paper was about case p equal 1, and the result concerning operator for p equal 2 was obtained by just composition of result for p equal 1 and this Grothendieck factorization theorem. Because maybe I should say that the average, if you try to find necessary submatrix by averaging for norm 2 to 2, it's not a good idea because just one big element kills you all your strategy. But the good idea is to go from 2 to 2 to 2 to 1 norm, and then after the averaging, you obtain something, and then you need to take one half of the obtained set of columns using Grothendieck theorem. So, in fact, some result was obtained a long time ago, but when I saw this problem, I easily prove the same result for orthonormal matrix, as is in initial Marcus Spielmann's Rivastava. So what I prove that if we have orthonormal matrix, so the rows are orthonormal, then I can decompose into two pieces such that norm from 2 to 1 less than 1 half plus C epsilon. But the result is nice, my result is not nice. Why? Because I cannot iterate. If I use this, I have one piece, but already I lose lower estimate. So it was not end of the story. So we did continue to study this problem.
Can you back?
Yeah.
So in that result, you have the assumption 2.
Yeah.
Assumption 2.
Yeah.
Your result, no assumption 2.
No, it's partial case. It's partial case. Here is no orthogonality condition.
Yeah. But you also assume 2?
For my matrix, yes.
Uh-huh.
But not in full generality. Here it's some possible application of this result. Because here, the first one is from theoretical computer science, and don't want to discuss it. But this one is very interesting problem because it's still unknown. If we have n-dimensional subspace in L1, is it possible to embed it into subspace into L1n with proportional dimensions? I mean, if we have dimension n, is it possible to embed into L1 10n? The best estimate was obtained by Talagran is extra logarithm. But this kind of result could kill logarithm. But we couldn't obtain the final result. It's the paper when this result was published. And first of all, it's very easy result. Instead of one half, we prove that always we can decompose into two pieces with such as norm. But one divided by square root of two, it gives nothing. But we need to do it because we have proposition two. Then in general, we cannot do anything better. So we start with this property of the matrix. So then, the result is that we cannot have anything better than 1 divided by square root of 2 if this number is not small enough. So it should be less than by some constant divided by square root of n. It's one of the conclusion of this. So in some sense, what Srivastava asks is not possible without extra condition. But it's what we could prove that it's possible if epsilon is here, it's main stuff. If epsilon is small enough, so it's unclear what happens if epsilon, the size of the columns, is between 1 divided by square root of n and 1 divided by n. So what it gives us? So we can iterate now to get smaller and smaller pieces, but not till the very end. So in the final domain, we lose control of norms. Because the iteration, how it goes, is not, I'd like to explain maybe. So we divide into two pieces, and the norm is extremely small till on each piece because our estimate is sharp enough. So because here it's very small, here it's very small error. Okay, and also there is a result about not norm estimate, but pointwise estimate. So it was asked by Srivastava too, and what's written here, that if we have extra condition on our subspace, this condition is satisfied for random subspace, but we can decompose such ways that for any x, the norm of A omega x is almost twice smaller than norm of initial AX. And it's unclear what will be final shape of the result here. So here it's open question. But how much time I have?
If you want to leave time for questions, then you have 12
minutes. Ah, it's okay, because it's a second part, because
it's proposition 4. Shed some light on the
No, the next part will be really, it's what I start to do here. But when I came here, it was before we discuss with Limonov, and then we communicate about, we start to look Bourguignon paper, because in fact, Omio, Professor Alevsky say him about, inform him about existence of Kolmogorov problem, and he got very deep result in 89. It's closely connected with his solution of lambda p problem, but the method is not easy. It takes time to understand what is the reason here, but everything is correct. But what did he prove? That he proved that we can rearrange our system randomly, and we have such a norm of maximal operator in random. And it's the best possible result which could be obtained by random method. Because if we have random permutation, some piece of size log n stay in the same place, no rearrangement in some sense. And if we have bad system initially, this piece gives you this iterated log. And here, I don't know, Professor Feng here, he showed me the in internet, let me say, it was one continuation of Bourguignon's activity in this direction, it's Levko, and they consider improve it for square variation of partial sums sequence. So instead of maximal operator, it's considered bigger bigger quantity. But why I mentioned, because he showed me in internet, this Levko comment when Bourguignon died, he commented that he liked very much his result about this rearrangement. They say, unfortunately, nobody except two people was not interested. And he asked, Levko asked him, and he say, me and Dolevsky. But in fact, not me, just Burgen himself and Alevsky. But in fact, it's not true, because I always understand that it's important approach, because it's for sure it's not quite understand how to say. It's clear that the possibility of the method is much wider than the result is. And what we did, we consider another problem using approach of Burgen. And we consider the subsequence problem. So in some sense, it's more interesting to consider subsystem and to try to estimate maximal operator for subsystem, because we have no possibility of rearrangement. And the result we obtained is the following. So we have a uniformly bounded system. And for any gamma bigger than 4, we obtain big enough subset lambda, bigger than n divided by log n power gamma, such that this operator is bounded from L infinity to L2. Let me explain that this operator, the best possible estimate for this norm, L infinity to L2, also is square root of lambda log n, or log absolute cardinality of lambda. And what we did, we couldn't consider all coefficients, but it's what we could do, we completely remove logarithmical term, because Burgen's method give you, if you change a lot, not a lot, change considerably his method, he gives you iterated logarithm again, and we remove this iterated logarithm. And it's impossible to have gamma less than 2 in this theorem. And what happens if gamma from 2 to 4? It's unclear for me. But I think it's an interesting topic, because I should explain my main goal here, why it's interesting. Because I hope, and I believe it, that in fast future, it will be possible to use Banach space result for to estimate the maximal operator for concrete fixed system, with some extra conditions. Because in Banach space, it's a lot of technique, and especially we use, and Burgen use, and it's standard approach, it's Kolmogorov chaining. So I mean, estimate of maximum of random processes in the very advanced math, advanced form. And in the orthogonal system theory, there are very interesting result, which I hope could be solved, or in any case, it's possible to obtain some result using Banach space approach. And for example, let me, of course I have no idea how to solve it now, but in any case I have no result here, but if we consider such a matrix, A minus J over P, here Legendre symbol, and what is the estimate of maximal operator, even just we take this triangle part, estimate of this norm. It's a famous Vinogradov conjecture about least non-residues. So it's there are result of there are problems how to estimate the norm of fixed matrix non-trivially. So the best here also log n. But I think that it's a good approach to this kind of problem using Banach space technique. Of course, our result is just gives nothing because we have subsequence and but still the method proposed by Bourguin is very interesting, and there are some natural questions which could be solved. What else? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Questions? Comments?
Yeah, a couple things. For the rearrangement in Kolmogorov question,
mm-hmm.
Is it necessary and sufficient that the maximal operator?
Yeah.
It is.
No. It's written in my paper in 1980.
Okay. And then?
And it's easy.
Yeah. So can you, is there a theorem about a sub-selection of the orthonormal system? I'll take a selection, hopefully fairly dense.
Yeah, but it's
selection. And I guarantee solution to Kolmogorov? No,
I mean
that doesn't guarantee solution.
No. Here there is no rearrangement, but Bourguin give you a logarithm, iterated logarithm. Without iterated logarithm,
you remove the logarithm, but with a sub-selection.
And the permutation.
Permutation, yeah.
I think it's possible, yeah. Also, we have another result I didn't mention here, that if we interested to operator from L2 to L2, so we have, we only have the same kind of density, maybe gamma bigger than 8, but the operator will be estimated not this way, but sub log n 3 over 4 plus epsilon. But it's more close to Bourguin's approach. We did something different. But to remove completely, I don't know. I think it's possible. If you allowed permutation and subselection, it's possible. Because normally, what is interesting also, if we have random matrix, orthonormal matrix. It was some idea that maybe it's after some rearrangement it is bad. It was some, Carlson had such idea. But in fact, what I proved in 1980 is that random matrix in any order has bounded maximal operator. So it's very random, effect. And to have non-bounded maximal operator, and even more random than its logarithmic order. But how to prove it? It's a big problem.
Is there any geometric interpretation about when you cut these matrices into pieces, that the vectors within each partition are kind of nicely arranged with distances to each other, if you have unit vectors or something like this?
It means that but it's already very nice interpretation if you have, so the projection has norm 1 divided by square root of 2, so I don't know how it's better, but also if you consider subspace generated by column here and here, the maximal and we take maximal norm of operator from here to this small dimensional subspace. So this vector should be orthogonal. I'm sorry, it's not quite clear what I said, but it's even the formulation, it looks like good for first year of university, I mean the result of Markov's Pilon and Srivastava. So it's just linear algebra, but it's not trivial.
Other questions?
Yeah. Could you give an example of the orthonormal system for which there is no convergence almost everywhere, but after rearrangement it is?
It's Minshov system. I mean, you can rearrange this. Okay, so you have Hilbert matrix, 1 divided by I minus J. You can rearrange rows that the maximal operator will be bounded.
Other questions?
You should always be able to go the other way. Have a system rearrange it to a bad system.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In effect, Ron is correct. So we have trigonometric system, and we can rearrange it in bad way.
No, just a moment. You were talking about convergence in of the function from L2, right?
Yeah, but Carlisson theorem give you convergence.
Yes,
but after the rearrangement, you can have divergence. It's proved by Ulyanov and even Alevsky, and even before it was.
Okay,
what?
It was proved by
Ulyanov. Yeah, maybe, but it was not but it's strange that Kolmogorov is everywhere here in this topic, because ingredient, it's chaining, because chaining is now absolutely standard method, and also he never published this. It was luckily it was published by Slutsky in 1937, so about chaining. Okay, thank you.
So let's